Beyond presents Fragments. Egio, possibly by William Allen. Good title. Egio is rather a chunky bit of text, dating from around 1560 and surviving as an extract in William Alley's Tocomuzion, or The Poor Man's Library, printed in 1565, hence Alley being the putative author. William Alley had connections with both players and the Academy, which makes placing this text quite difficult. It could be a very philosophical part of a longer play, or it could be a theological dialogue designed for didactic purposes. There are two interlocutors, Larimos and Phronimos. Larimos is of the free will is an illusion school of thought. Everything is predetermined by God, and he has sources to prove it.
None of you all can destiny deny, for all things do chance by mere necessity. And that I will prove by sufficient authority, both of astronomy and also divinity. And first to begin with God's own book, God doth all things foresee and forelook. And that thing which he doth once foresee must needs be so, and can none otherwise be. Man is also ruled by the constellation of the bodies above, after Ptolemy's relation. Of Lucanus this is also the sentence, that man is ruled by destiny's violence. Preceps agit omnia fatum, and beside the doctrine of all the astronomers, it is also the mind of poets and philosophers. Quod regitur fatis mortale genus, et venit ab alto quiequid facimus. To be short and to avoid prolixity, now shall you hear a doctor of divinity, Austin, in his book of the Heavenly City, writeth these words of fatal destiny. Destiny, saith he, is a certain disposition of causes, and is also an order and production of things, them either to prosper or else to spill, beside God's purpose and beside man's will.
Phronimos disagrees. Detestable heresy! If there's no free will, then there is no sin, because no one has a choice.
The wicked doctrine of fatal necessity I will prove to be a detestable heresy. If man, by the course of bodies above, from sin himself could not leave nor remove, and if one should be a thief by fatal necessity, then we must needs reason and contend that the creatures of God are not all good, contrary to the Apostle Paul's relation, which all creatures to be good made declaration. And by this doctrine it should follow, then, that there could be no sin committed by man, for that which is evil is done alway by man's free will, as the divines do say, and by the suggestion of the wicked fiend, et per fomitem peccati, that is in man's mind, and by the doctrine of the Stoics' necessity, God to himself should be clean contrary. For if he bid us to do good, and enforce us to do ill, then his commandments is able to fulfil. Of this also should ensue a damnable clause, that God of all ill should be the original cause.
So, predetermination also suggests God has to then be the actual creator of evil, and renders all learning pointless.
It followeth also by this heathenish necessity that all transgressors are punished unjustly. For you cannot say that to be ill done, which a man by no means is able to shun. Out of this also it doth follow and fall, that in vain are made the sciences all, as geometry, physic, and moral philosophy, arithmetic, music, and also divinity. For what shall we need to teach and exhort, or the sick to help with medicine's comfort? What shall it avail to rebuke any sin, or to repentance by preaching any man to win? What shall it boot to fast and to pray, or any good thing to do or to say? If all things by destiny should chance and fall, marry, it forceth not then what we do at all. And to be plain, If this doctrine should be known, the whole life of man should be quite overthrown.
Phronimos also has examples.
Ambrose, in his book called Hexameron, doth profoundly condemn this opinion. What need, saith he, any laws to be made, or in a realm any acts to be had, to preserve the good in quiet safety, and to punish the ill for their iniquity, if things should chance by mere necessity? Why laboureth the ploughman to sow his corn? Why travaileth the merchant, like to be forlorn, in the sea? Why do other men take care and pain to obtain to themselves commodity and gain? All occupations and arts are in vain. Thus writeth Ambrose wonderful plain. God forbid, saith Gregory, that any Christian heart should with the opinion of destiny take any part. For none but God, which gave the creation, doth take of our life the administration. Ptolemy, the prince of the astronomy school, doth say that a wise man the planets may rule. Ambergosarus, upon the Centiloquy, writeth thus concerning destiny: the effects of the planets a wise man may let by the force of wisdom which in him is set. And Abraham Averna, an astronomer of Caldy, doth overthrow this fatal necessity. And if to heaven with prayer a man lift up his voice, against destiny he shall triumph and rejoice. Authorities against destiny we need no more, but yet let us bring an example or two. A certain man, beholding Plato his face, did him much dispraise and greatly disgrace, and judged him to be a corrupter of youth, a liar, a dissembler, no teller of truth. To whom Plato answered, making relation, that he had overcome the planet's inclination by knowledge and learning and wise government, and by godly virtues daily entertainment. Jacob and Esau maketh for this matter, as is in Genesis, the 25th chapter. They were two twins, you shall understand, the one holding the other's heel in his hand. Although they were born at 1 hour's instant, yet were their lines very much discrepant. Were nor some, saith Ambrose, from grace rejected, and into God's favour again elected? Were the apostles redeemed by the force of nativity, or did the coming of Christ then bless and sanctify? The thief was not saved by destiny's devise, but the confession of faith brought him to paradise. What say you to them whom death had devoured, and by the apostles again to life were restored? Did destiny to life restore them again? Nay, it was God by the apostles, as the scriptures say. Now, to make up and knit the conclusion, we have brought destiny to utter confusion, of the which Bardazanes was the first author, and the sect of Priscillianists was the next forter, which in the council of Toletane holdeth in Spain, the names of heretics for this did sustain. And as for the authority which thou broughtest out of Austin, he spake it in the Stoics, and not in his own person.
Austin isn't a romantic novelist in this context. It's St. Augustine. Larimos goes on to state that there is plenty of evidence in the Bible that brings the evil on people.
Nay, then I ask you another question, and give me thereof some pithy solution. What say you to the words of Sirach and Amos? I durst lay a noble I shall you oppose. Both good things, and also things ill, the Lord doth appoint them and fulfill. Riches, poverty, life, and death, this the book of Sirach saith. Is there, saith Amos, any ill in a city, but it is the Lord's will? So although ye deny destiny, yet grant God to be the author of iniquity.
Phronimos disagrees. There's sin, and then there's heavenly justice. Different things.
God save me from that opinion. But now will I answer to thine objection. There be, saith Austin, two kinds of ills which spring out of two contrary wills. Est malum culpae, est et malum pene. The ill of sin man's will doth commit, the ill of pain God's hand doth inflict. Not that ill of itself is God's punishment, but so counted of them to whom it is sent. As a child, which is both wanton and wild, doth fear the rod which maketh him mild, although he hated worse than a serpent, yet is the rod a very good instrument. So the punishment which God doth send to cause the sinful man to amend is counted of the sinner to be very ill, because it liketh nothing his will. And the pain which he doth sustain, he doth much abhor and greatly disdain, but although it be against his lust, yet is God's punishment both good and just. So that of ill God is a just revenger, and not of sin, to be counted an author.
And there the extract ends. Having done both interludes and dialogues of the period, I'd place this in the dialogue camp, but you can disagree. In a bit, you can hear our full exploring and recording session for this recording. But before that, have another listen at this take at the dialogue. With Liza Graham as Larimos, hot to trot for predestination, and myself, Robert Crichton, as Phronimos. Free will is not an illusion.
None of you all can destiny deny, for all things do chance by mere necessity. And that I will prove by sufficient authority, both of astronomy and also divinity. And first to begin with God's own book, God doth all things foresee and forelook. And that thing which he doth once foresee must needs be so, and can none otherwise be. Man is also ruled by the constellation of the bodies above, after Ptolemy's relation. Of Lucanus this is also the sentence, that man is ruled by destiny's violence. Preceps agit omnia fatum, and beside the doctrine of all the astronomers, it is also the mind of poets and philosophers. Quod regitur fatis mortale genus, et venit ab alto quiequid facimus. To be short and to avoid prolixity, now shall you hear a doctor of divinity, Austin, in his book of the Heavenly City, writeth these words of fatal destiny. Destiny, saith he, is a certain disposition of causes, and is also an order and production of things, them either to prosper or else to spill, beside God's purpose and beside man's will.
The wicked doctrine of fatal necessity I will prove to be a detestable heresy. If man, by the course of bodies above, from sin himself could not leave nor remove, and if one should be a thief by fatal necessity, then we must needs reason and contend that the creatures of God are not all good, contrary to the Apostle Paul's relation, which all creatures to be good made declaration. And by this doctrine it should follow, then, that there could be no sin committed by man. For that which is evil is done alway by man's free will, as the divines do say, and by the suggestion of the wicked fiend, et per fomitem peccati, that is in man's mind, and by the doctrine of the Stoics' necessity, God to himself should be clean contrary. For if he bid us to do good, and enforces to do ill, who then his commandments is able to fulfil? Of this also should ensue a damnable clause, that God of all ill should be the original cause. It followeth also by this heathenish necessity, that all transgressors are punished unjustly. For you cannot say that to be ill done, which a man by no means is able to shun. Out of this also it doth follow and fall, that in vain are made the sciences all. As geometry, physic, and moral philosophy, arithmetic, music, and also divinity. For what shall we need to teach and exhort, or the sick to help with medicine's comfort? What shall it avail to rebuke any sin, or to repentance by preaching any man to win? What shall it boot to fast and to pray, or any good thing to do or to say, if all things by destiny should chance and fall? Marry, it forceth not, then, what we do at all. And to be plain, if this doctrine should be known, the whole life of man should be quite overthrown. Ambrose, in his book called Hexameron, doth profoundly condemn this opinion. What need saith he, any laws to be made, or in a realm any acts to be had, to preserve the good in quiet safety, and to punish the ill for their iniquity, if things should chance by mere necessity. Why laboureth the ploughman to sow his corn? Why travaileth the merchant, like to be forlorn, in the sea? Why do other men take care and pain to obtain to themselves commodity and gain? All occupations and arts are in vain. Thus writeth Ambrose, wonderful plain. God forbid, saith Gregory, that any Christian heart should with the opinion of destiny take any part. For none but God, which gave the creation, doth take of our life the administration. Ptolemy, the prince of the astronomy school, doth say that a wise man the planets may rule. Ambergosurus, upon the Centiloquy, writeth thus concerning destiny, the effects of the planets a wise man may let, by the force of wisdom which in him is set. And Abraham Averna, an astronomer of Caldy, doth overthrow this fatal necessity. And if to heaven with prayer a man lift up his voice, against destiny he shall triumph and rejoice. Authorities against destiny we need no more, but yet let us bring an example or two. A certain man beholding Plato his face did him much dispraise and greatly disgrace, and judged him to be a corrupter of youth, a liar, a dissembler, no teller of truth. To whom Plato answered, making relation, that he had overcome the planet's inclination by knowledge and learning and wise government, and by godly virtues daily entertainment. Jacob and Esau maketh for this matter, as is in Genesis, the 25th chapter. They were two twins, you shall understand, the one holding the other's heel in his hand. Although they were born at 1 hour's instant, yet were their lines very much discrepant. Were not some, saith Ambrose, from grace rejected, and into God's favour again elected? Were the apostles redeemed by the force of nativity, or did the coming of Christ then bless and sanctify? The thief was not saved by destiny's devise, but the confession of faith brought him to paradise. What say you to them whom death had devoured, and by the apostles again to life were restored? Did destiny to life restore them again? Nay, it was God by the apostles, as the scriptures say. Now, to make up and knit the conclusion, we have brought destiny to utter confusion, of the which Bardazanes was the first author, and the sect of Priscillianists was the next forter, which in the council of Toletane holdeth in Spain, the names of heretics for this did sustain. And as for the authority which thou broughtest out of Austin, he spake it in the Stoics, and not in his own person.
Nay, then I ask you another question, and give me thereof some pithy solution. What say you to the words of Sirach and Amos? I durst lay a noble, I shall you oppose. Both good things, and also things ill, the Lord doth appoint them and fulfill. Riches, poverty, life, and death, this the book of Sirach saith. Is there, saith Amos, any ill in a city, but it is the Lord's will? So although ye deny destiny, yet grant God to be the author of iniquity.
God save me from that opinion. But now will I answer to thine objection. There be, saith Austin, two kinds of ills which spring out of two contrary wills. Est malum culpae, est et malum pene. The ill of sin man's will doth commit, the ill of pain God's hand doth inflict. Not that ill of itself is God's punishment, but so counted of them to whom it is sent. As a child, which is both wanton and wild, doth fear the rod which maketh him mild, although he hated worse than a serpent, yet is the rod a very good instrument. So the punishment which God doth send to cause the sinful man to amend is counted of the sinner to be very ill, because it liketh nothing his will. And the pain which he doth sustain, he doth much abhor and greatly disdain, but although it be against his lust, yet is God's punishment both good and just. So that of ill God is a just revenger, and not of sin, to be counted an author.
And now here's the recording session that that take came from. It was a live-streamed exploring session for our patrons, and there's a reasonable amount of good chat about this text. An earlier look at this text is also on our Tube the U, links in the show description. I will now hand you over to Past Robert and Liza Graham.
Okay, we're going to go on to another. Now, this is another fragment. We've already done this on the YouTube. This is Larry. This is from Ezio. Possibly by William Alley. It turns up in a
EGO.
Long.
EGO. It's from EGO.
EGO.
A E G I O. Old MacDonald had a farm. A E G I O. Yay.
That will definitely get used as the closing moment in the episode. And it's a few pages long. It's a dialogue exchange, and it's quite fiddly and back and forthy. There's a reasonable chunk of it. Would you like to be Larimos?
Yes, I will be Larimos. You can call me Larry.
I will call you Larry, and Fronimos. You can call me Fron.
Yes, thank you.
I am the Fron.
If I bop Robert over the head with a script pages, it will not actually read on audio, but nobody will know what I done.
Yeah, I'll let you have the headphones this time, so you can have a look. You don't get much of an impression of actually how you're sounding, but I'll just... this is primarily to test an audio setup, so how much of this we use in the end, we don't know. But you wonderful patrons will get this material to see as we test for a live streaming that we're hoping to do in the future, whether this is the best setup for it.
Hmm.
You were Larry Moss, were you?
I am.
Okay. Those are the interlocutors. Let's interlock.
None of you all can destiny deny, for all things do chance by mere necessity. And that I will prove by sufficient authority, both of astronomy and also divinity. And first to begin with God's own book, God doth all things foresee and forelook. And that thing which he doth once foresee must needs be so, and can none otherwise be. Man is also ruled by the constellation of the bodies above, after Ptolemy's relation. Of Lucanus this is also the sentence, that man is ruled by destiny's violence. Preceps agit omnia fatum, and beside the doctrine of all the astronomers, it is also the mind of poets and philosophers. Quod regitur fatis mortale genus, et venit ab alto quiequid facimus. To be short and to avoid prolixity, now shall you hear a doctor of divinity, Austin, in his book of the Heavenly City, writeth these words of fatal destiny. Destiny, saith he, is a certain disposition of causes, and is also an order and production of things, them either to prosper or else to spill, beside God's purpose and beside man's will.
The wicked doctrine of fatal necessity I will prove to be a detestable heresy. If man, by the course of bodies above, from sin himself could not leave nor remove, and if one should be a thief by fatal necessity, then we must needs reason and contend that the creatures of God are not all good, contrary to the Apostle Paul's relation, which all creatures to be good made declaration. And by this doctrine it should follow then that there could be no sin committed by man, for that which is evil is done alway by man's free will, as the divines do say, and by the suggestion of the wicked fiend, et per fomitem peccati, that is in man's mind, and by the doctrine of the Stoics' necessity, God to himself should be clean contrary. For if he bid us to do good, and enforces to do ill, who then his commandments is able to fulfill. Of this also should ensue a damnable clause, that God of all ill should be the original cause. It followeth also by this heathenish necessity, that all transgressors are punished unjustly. for you cannot say that to be ill done, which a man by no means is able to shun. Hour of this also it doth follow and fall, that in vain are made the sciences all, as geometry, physic, and moral philosophy, arithmetic, music, and also divinity. For what shall we need to teach and exhort, or the sick to help with medicine's comfort? What shall it avail to rebuke any sin, or to repentance by preaching any man to win? What shall it boot to fast and to pray, or any good thing to do or to say? If all things by destiny should chance and fall, marry, it forceth not then what we do at all. And to be plain, if this doctrine should be known, the whole life of man should be quite overthrown. Ambrose, in his book called Hexameron, doth profoundly condemn this opinion. What need, saith he, any laws to be made, or in a realm any acts to be had, to preserve the good in quiet safety, and to punish the ill for their iniquity, if things should chance by mere necessity? Why laboureth the ploughman to sow his corn? Why travaileth the merchant, like to be forlorn, in the sea? Why do other men take care and pain to obtain to themselves commodity and gain? All occupations and arts are in vain. Thus writeth Ambrose, wonderful plain. God forbid, saith Gregory, that any Christian heart should with the opinion of destiny take any part. For none but God, which gave the creation, doth take of our life the administration. Ptolemy, the prince of the astronomy school, doth say that a wise man the planets may rule. And Bagorserus? Sounds like a dinosaur. And Bagorserus, upon the centiloquy, the... I was doing all right until then. Pull it together. Bagorserus. I'm hoping this is just a typo and it's not actually supposed to be the word. I don't think it is, though. Ambergosaurus, upon the centiloquy, writeth thus concerning destiny. The effects of the planets a wise man may let by the force of wisdom which in him is set. And Abraham, a Werner, an astronomer of Chaldery.
It's Chaldee. It's Chaldea, really.
Yeah. And Abraham, a Werner, an astronomer of Chaldee, doth overthrow this fatal necessity. And if to heaven with prayer a man lift up his voice, against destiny he shall triumph and rejoice. Authorities, against destiny we need no mo, but yet let us bring an example or two. A certain man, beholding Plato his face, did him much dispraise and greatly disgrace, and judged him to be a corrupter of youth, a liar, a dissembler, no teller of truth. To whom Plato answered, making relation, that he had overcome the planet's inclination by knowledge and learning and wise government, and by godly virtues daily entertainment. Jacob and Esau maketh for this matter, as is in Genesis, the 25th chapter. They were two twins, you shall understand, the one holding the other's heel in his hand. Although they were born at 1 hour's instant, yet were their lines very much discrepant. Were nor some, saith Ambrose, from grace rejected, and into God's favour again elected? Were the apostles redeemed by the force of nativity, or did the coming of Christ then bless and sanctify? The thief was not saved by destiny's devise, but the confession of faith brought him to paradise. What say you to them whom death had devoured? And by the apostles again to life were restored. Did destiny to life restore them again? Nay, it was God by the apostles, as the scriptures say. Now, to make up and knit the conclusion, we have brought destiny to utter confusion, of the which Bar Designs was the first author. Of the which Bardazanes was...
Bardazanes.
Bardazanes?
He was Persian, I think.
Ah, I'm not familiar with the chap. Of the which Bardazanes was the first author, and the sect of Priscillianists was the next forter, which in the Council of Toletane holdeth in Spain the names of heretics for this did sustain. And as for the authority which thou ought... As for the authority which thou broughtest out of Austin, he spake it in the Stoics, and not in his own person.
Nay, then I ask you another question, and give me thereof some pithy solution. What say you to the words of Sirach and Amos? I durst lay a noble I shall you oppose. Both good things, and also things ill, the Lord doth appoint them and fulfill. Riches, poverty, life, and death, this the book of Sirach saith. Is there, saith Amos, any ill in a city, but it is the Lord's will? So although ye deny destiny, yet grant God to be the author of iniquity.
God save me from that opinion. But now will I answer to thine objection. There be, saith Austin, two kinds of ills which spring are of two contrary wills. Est malum culpae, est et malum pene. The ill of sin man's will doth commit, the ill of pain God's hand doth inflict. Not that ill of itself is God's punishment, but so counted of them to whom it is sent. As a child which is both wanton and wild, doth fear the rod which maketh him mild. Although he hate it worse than a serpent, yet is the rod a very good instrument. So the punishment which God doth send to cause the sinful man to amend is counted of the sinner to be very ill, because it liketh nothing his will. And the pain which he doth sustain, he doth much abhor and greatly disdain, but although it be against his lust, yet is God's punishment both good and just. So that of ill God is a just revenger, and not of sin, to be counted an author.
End of fragment.
Yes, because this is used in a lengthy sort of compendious tome of other things, and it's sort of thrown in as an example of, presumably, this kind of argument of theology.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues mixed up here, but finish what you were going to say.
Well, it's just... is the question of, you know, is this one of the reasons I'm doing this with you and not necessarily doing it with others is, of course, this segues into our sort of dialogues strand on the podcast, which we've been doing very much as a side project. And, you know, is this actually dramatic, or is this a dialogue to express thought in a sort of Platonic fashion. I'm sort of leaning in that direction. This isn't from a play, because it's not really dynamic or play-y in that sense.
Yeah, but at the same time, we've got a lot of dialogues which might be dramatic or might not be, but were plainly written by someone either in the clergy or studying to be in the clergy. And there are a lot of debates in rhyme that take... More or less this form. Often there are debates, they're a little coarser. They're between someone of lower class and someone of upper class.
Whereas usually the
lower class person has the simple, true, plain wisdom that the person of upper class does not.
Yes, and is this difference that here... I mean, whereas, you know, some of the ones we've done, John Bonn and Knowledge and Simplicity, they're very much about...
Lucidus and Dubius.
Which is a more dramatic piece, somewhere in between. I think less so for Lucidus and Dubius, because I think this is a bit more like Lucidus and Dubius, actually. Whereas Knowledge and Simplicity and... John Bonn are very much about how you apply doctrine to a day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Whereas this is much more the nitty-gritty of what the doctrine means and its implications, and it's not so much, you know, whereas, you know, you've got arguments about the Eucharist and how it's functioning.
Yeah, this is a debate between two scholars that abides by the rules of scholarly debate.
Yes.
As in, they both, you have to cite sources to support your argument, and you have to attack the other person's sources and prove that they're not valid.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear that the author of this one, you know, these are fundamental questions of religion. First of all, predestination or free will. Mm. Second of all, if predestination exists, where does it come from? Does it come from God or an outside force? Third of all, if God is good, why would he allow evil? And if God predestines everything, he must be predestining evil, mustn't he?
Mm.
So these are big, weighty questions without definitive answers, or at least they have several answers of which you may take your pick.
Mm. Yes, and we have encountered plays which are explicitly all about the question of free will, or at least they're called free will. I say plays. The text we've looked at called Free Will is about as far away from being a play as I think is sensible to say.
Yes, it's about a killer whale who befriends a little boy. And
No. Stopping you there. Just no. We did look at a text called Free Will, which is about 40,000 words long. I mean, it's longer than that. It's 70,000. It's ridiculously long. And I think we looked at the first act and then we just pulled the ripcord and said, this isn't a play. This is just a lot of words. But it's covering, I off the top of my, I can't remember, it's been so long. It's been at least 2 years since we looked at this text, and I've forgotten anything that happened in it, because nothing happened in it. Whereas this is a bit, has a lot more sort of oomph to it. A couple of lines, I wasn't quite sure if there might be errors.
There are some typos. I noticed two instances of hour for out.
Yes. Because I knew there was one I was going, no, that doesn't make any sense. Do you know where that was? I know there was one where I said a line and I just went, no, that's clearly wrong. I'm just going to keep saying it. Like, I think it was on page 3. But I can't find it now. Maybe page 2. Or maybe it was the final page. It was somewhere.
There were two, at least.
Yes, I found one of them. I will do it now for coverage, because I might just use this as might edit this to sound vaguely proper, because I don't think we're going to return to this in any great length. But you never know. There be, saith Austin, two kinds of ills which spring out of two contrary wills. So that's the one on page 4. Was it one I did, or was it one you did?
I think it was one of yours.
Mm.
There we go, here.
Aha. Uh-huh. Out of this also it doth follow and fall, that in vain are made the sciences all.
Yeah, and this is my issue with, in fact, with Frontius' argument, Phronimos, your character, with their argument.
Mm.
Because Laramus's proposition is that everything proceeds from predestination, and that predestination, from the quote from Augustine, who he calls Austin, the quote from Augustine that he gives is, destiny is a certain disposition of causes, and is also an order and production of things, them either to prosper or else to spill, beside God's purpose and beside man's will. So destiny is neither ordained by God nor willed by man. It's a separate thing. Fate, if you will. And Phronimos then comes in and tries to refute this by saying, well, we know that astrology isn't valid. But I don't think that Laramus was talking about astrology. He was talking about something more like fate. Phronimos seems to take it for granted that Laramus believes that believes that predestination comes from the planets and the stars. Actually, no, he does say it. He does, Larimus, the character I played, does say, man is also ruled by the constellation of the bodies above after Ptolemy's relation. But that seems to me, but there's an also there, which implies that astrology is a separate thing from destiny or fate.
Mm.
And then, Phronimos picks up the popular argument among anti-predestination people, which is, well, if everything's predestined, then why do we bother to do anything at all? Why don't we just let destiny do it for us? And dude, that is not how destiny works. You don't, even if God foreknows your destiny or the fates or whatever, even if destiny is pre-written, we don't know how it turns out. If you start an argument with someone, you don't know whether you're destined to win or they are, and the consequence could be their soul, or the consequence could be your fate. If a king wants to execute you and you plead for your life, you're not going to say, oh, the outcome is predestined, so I really shouldn't say anything. You're going to plead. Sorry, swearing.
It's all right. I'm sure that our audience is mostly adult.
Because you don't know which way fate has determined.
Mm. And we may think, oh, are these things relevant to us today? Do these things matter? You know, these theological arguments in a relatively secular society. But of course, the question of free will does function within the question of how the universe functions. Is everything that happened in the universe effectually or ordained by the Big Bang and a series of consequences? And mathematically speaking, everything should follow a certain course because of things, or is the chaotic nature of the universe, meaning that actually you can never predict the future outcome of where we're going? You know, is our life predestined by the order of forces in the universe, or does chaos ultimately rule what happens? Broadly speaking, I'm on the side of chaos, but
do not say such things if you are the artistic director of a theater company. Chaos will come for you whether you like it or not.
It's a matter of, you have to embrace chaos in this industry, within certain bounds. Right. Well, that's it for our little test session. It may turn out that these recordings aren't very helpful or useful, and that we'll have to do them again another time. But that's why we did things that we've either done before or were very, very short. Thank you for listening, if indeed you have. Thank you especially our patrons, who are the people who will be listening to this first. Your support helps make these strange things happen. All that remains, thank Liza for joining me today.
Thank you, Robert.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.
Fragments is hosted and produced by Robert Crichton for the Beyond podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, why not buy us a coffee on ko-fi.com or become a patron and get early access and bonus material? Our patrons get to choose the plays we work on next. Go to patreon.com/beyondshakespeare. Links in the show description. Goodbye. And there, the extract. Good God, shut up, stomach. Don't do this after having sausages. That's just, it's clearly a terrible idea.